Good morning.
I sound a little echoey. There we go, Tommy. Thank you. Tommy never gets any credit. He's up there in the booth and nobody sees him, but he makes everything run smoothly. Let's give Tommy a hand. Thank you, Tommy. That's what I'm talking about. He's got a face that's fit for the booth in the back. Woo! Got some Pentecostals in the house. Haven't even started. I went to Atlanta this week for a leadership conference for a couple days, and if you need your patience tried or your faith tested or you need your nerves to be on edge, just drive I-85 in Atlanta, Georgia, with Roger driving, and it's sticky. Your prayer life will just excel. No, it was good. Heard a lot of good speakers, a lot of good minds in the leadership world and in the Christian world, and it was good stuff. But a little bit on jet lag still, so we're gonna try to roll with this. But we're in 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 2. We're gonna do all of chapter 2. Don't worry, it's 16 verses, but we're not really gonna, you know, like, it's not gonna be 3 hours, it's just gonna be 2.5. But so go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 if you would. We're gonna be there, we're gonna start there. There should be an insert in your bulletins that speak to this passage, and you can look at it there. Grab the Bible in front of you if that's not the case, and we'll do it that way. But want to just read through this really quick. Dennis, you mind controlling me as I read through? You don't mind or you don't want to? You will? You demand. Give Dennis a hand on the computer there. All right. Seriously, they don't get any recognition up there, but they do a lot of things. So thank you, guys. Chapter 2, verse 1, we're going to read through this and we're going to look a little more in depth. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen? But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I want to pause there for just a second, verse 14. It's an interesting passage because our salvation is really, there's a Trinity out there, if you hadn't heard of that. There's a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We talk about that some, but a lot of times the most ununderstandable, we lack understanding on the third party, the Holy Spirit in this. This is what this passage is all about. It's about the Holy Spirit coming into you and I and empowering us to make decisions, empowering us to know what God would have us do, empowering us to be bold in our faith and to witness to others. And this passage here speaks of the difficulty of the job that the Holy Spirit had. You see, God in his infinite grace sent his Son, and then his Son in his tremendous sacrifice died for you and I. But then the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit is the one that speaks into us, that even allows us to know Jesus Christ. The fact that you know him, if you do know him today, is because the Holy Spirit has allowed you to have that knowledge. The fact that if you've grown in him, matured in him, it's because he has allowed you to gain that insight, the secret things, the deep things, that's from the Holy Spirit. Now, with that, though, is difficulty, because that means that some things are going to come out in you that don't line up with the things of God, because if the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God, and wants those things to for you to know those things, that's going to be hard for you to accept. That's going to be hard for me to accept if our lives aren't lining up. And so it's easy to see here why the Holy Spirit was the most difficult one to understand. Specifically, they resisted him. It says that the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They resisted. You resisted the Holy Spirit. How many of you have resisted the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit says, hey, I really think you need to go do that. He nudges your heart to do this. He's been calling you to do that for forever, and you just are right where you're at in the same spot. Because you resist the calling, the nudge, the push, the pull, the friend's advice that's a Christian, and you stay in that. How many of you resist? It still happens today. The Holy Spirit's job is still the most difficult because we love God's grace in sending His Son. We love Jesus Christ sacrificing and coming to die for us. But then the Holy Spirit comes and He wants to grow us up. Some of us like to be immature. We love to be immature, right? We like that. Yeah, but we're talking about a spiritual thing here in a spiritual way. God doesn't want us to be immature because then we get tossed back and forth and we can be led into things that aren't of God. And so He wants His Holy Spirit to be able to direct us and guide us and teach. But we resist that because it's challenging. Also says here that they are foolishness to Him, so they ridiculed the Holy Spirit. This is foolishness. Some of you ever said that? That's crazy, God. I'm not doing that. What are you thinking? I would never do that. We have called the Holy Spirit, the leading of God in our lives, foolishness many times. Where he's asked us to do something, or a friend says, hey, I think you ought to do that if God's calling you to do it. No way! That's foolishness. For they are foolishness to Him. See, we resist the Holy Spirit. We ridicule the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is misunderstood. It says, and He cannot understand them because they are spirit not, or, and He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. We don't understand the Holy Spirit because we don't want to understand the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit convicts us and challenges us and says, that's not okay what you're doing. You need to stop that. You need to start doing this. And we don't like that part. So we just as soon not know it. So we don't grow up in the things of the Lord. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to play His role. We love God's role. We love Christ's role. But the Holy Spirit role, not so much. Because that's the day-to-day grind role. At how am I going to be today at work? And how am I going to be today with the people I encounter? How am I going to be on the road as I drive down? Am I going to cut people off? If they cut me off, am I going to do this? How am I going to respond? The Holy Spirit has a desire for you to be and do the things of God. But we resist that, and we ridicule that, and we misunderstand that. All right, let's keep on going. Where was I? I was in, lost my spot here. Here we go. That was verse 14, the person with the Spirit accepting. Okay, so verse 15. The person with the Spirit, you keep going, Dennis. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct Him? But we have the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. That's what we're going to come back to at the end in about an hour and a half. We're going to come back to that mind of Christ. But first, we've got to trek through a little bit different waters here. So that's why the Holy Spirit was challenged. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. It's a three part of the Trinity. It's a third part of the Trinity. You can see in verses 4 and 5, and if you'll click to these as I say them, in verses 4 and 5, you'll see that the Spirit and God are interchangeable. The Spirit's power is also called God's power. And in verse 11, you see the very thoughts of God are the very thoughts of the Spirit. And so they are interchangeable. The Spirit is God. It's not like they are three in one. The thing the Holy Spirit does is He speaks to us. It says in verses 9 and 10, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. And we share that part of it a lot of times at funerals because we really, really like that, right? This person's going on to be in this better place. And all that's true. They're receiving this great reward if they're a believer and everything's going to be perfect, the pearly gates, the golden roads, and everybody's joy. There's no crying, there's no hunger, there's no all those sorts of things. No eye has seen. But that passage of Scripture is not just an eternal glimpse. It's supposed to be an earthly glimpse with our lives as well. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has came, but God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it by His Spirit. He wants to reveal it today in you and in me so that we can have those things. We can see those things, feel those things, hear those things, know those things, live out those things right now. Right now. It's not just something we look forward to. We can know the mind of Christ. We can know the end of the story. We can know the victory is His. We can know that there is hope, that there is forgiveness, that there is grace, that there is mercy, that we do get to spend eternity with our Father. All that stuff we get to know. We get to know the depths of that. So that's what the Spirit does. He speaks to us. He's not some impersonal, you know, being that kind of just smacks us on the back of the head when we're doing something wrong. Not just on the shoulder when we need to go the other direction. But He does work in us if you'll allow Him to. And He wants to change you and He wants to guide your path, but we have to allow Him to do that. It says in verse 10 that He searches all things, even the deep things of God. That means that all of the ways of our life, that even the simplest, most things on how we treat people and how we act on a day-to-day basis, even when no one's looking, He searches all those things. The Spirit does that in you and He does that in me. He knows the thoughts of God. Verse 11, in the same way, nobody knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We can actually get in the mind of God, by allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way in us. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. That's pretty powerful. He teaches us what God has freely given us. In verse 13, this is what we speak, not words taught us by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit. Nothing in this world can teach us, can give us salvation. Only Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Us accepting that and us chasing after that. That's what does that. So the Holy Spirit does those things. He also does something else that's really, really important. Going to verses 1 through 5. He empowers us to share our testimony. It says here in verses 1 through 5, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony of God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise. I relate to this passage. I read this passage all the time, and I've shared this with you because this is how I feel every Sunday. With that being said, if I go on here, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, that's true about me, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. If I ever get two words that go together good or make sense or, you know, that sort of thing, and you go, wow, that's cool, that's the Spirit. If it's a mess up, then that's me. But the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's wisdom. He empowers us. He gives us the ability to share our testimony. And that's really, really important. And all of the things that you and I might use to not share our testimony, like, well, I won't know what to say, or I'm not qualified to do that. Paul covers all those in these five verses if you look at them. Sure, you're not qualified, but through Him you are. Sure, you don't know what you're going to say. I'll tell you what, lean on me and I'll tell you what to say, right? Just do that. You notice here, he identifies the object, the most important thing here of our faith when he says it needs to be God. You see, one question I ask myself every Sunday before I come up and preach, or and after I preach, is, did I make God the hero? Because if I didn't make God the hero, then it's not a win. And every day I go out, and how I treat my family, how I treat my wife, how I treat my kids, how I treat others I encounter, how I think, how I pray, how I act, did I make God the hero? But Paul's reminding us that it's okay to be scared about, it's okay to not have big words, it's okay to not know what you're going to say, it's okay to be fearful and weakness. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Last night I spent a couple hours in Napanee Missionary Church with Teen Challenge. They did a banquet and they had several testimonies. And the one thing that kept coming to my mind as I watched these guys, these men who are ranging from 20 years old to 50 years old with drug addiction and alcoholism and whatever, and they range in their areas of a month clean to, you know, 5 years clean or whatever it was, 8 to 10 years clean, I guess a lot of them. But the one thing I saw was their testimony, their sharing of their faith, because that's what they did. They go up and they get up and they share their testimony. A lot of us say, we can't do that, right? I can't do that. These guys don't use eloquent, big words. These guys aren't qualified outside of you and I to do that. You know how they do it? They do it by a complete and total dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And you know what else they do? They just share what God has done in their life. the central figure, the hero of their story, the hero of their testimony is God. Anybody else in our testimony getting the hero recognition, getting any of the accolades, and we've missed it. It was powerful to me because I thought, that's it. If we can just grasp this verse 4 here that says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and to lead you and just share what God has done in your life. Let him be the hero. That's what he empowers us to do, and that's what changes our life, and that's what changes. There's a vulnerability. There's an accountability there when you have a complete dependence and reliance on his power inside of you, giving you what you need rather than you mustering up what you need and going before people, a family member, a friend, a coworker, and going to share your faith, and you beat them down with your... Go in the Holy Spirit. Go with his grace, his mercy, his love, his truth, and just let him guide your words and let God be the hero of your story, because he is at the end of the day. You have a story. People need to hear your story. Your story will change their life. I want you to hear me in this. It will change their lives. You need to do this. He empowers us to share our testimony. We need to do that, whether we feel unqualified, whether we don't know what we're going to say, that's okay. Keep God the central figure and everything will be just fine. In verse 2, he says this, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What he's saying there is that nothing else mattered. I can be a mathematician, I can be a historian, I can be this, I can be that. None of those are evil and bad in and of themselves. But his focus, I want to know Christ and him crucified. I resolved to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. How much time have you spent getting to know Jesus Christ and him crucified? How many of you have made that your life mission? I resolve to know nothing, but this subject is going to be so important to me because Jesus is supposed to be. This is going to be so critical to my life that I'm going to pour into this to know Jesus, his story, Jesus Christ and him crucified, not just for my well-being, but so that I'll know it so well that others will see it in me and I can share it with them. That's a convicting area for me because I do a lot of other things and I resolve to know a lot of other things and deal with marriage and deal with drug addiction and deal with this and deal with that. But you know what? If we'll hone in on Christ and him crucified and we'll know that inside and out and we'll own that in our innermost depths, allow the Holy Spirit to sink that in and to change us, that'll be enough. That'll be enough. That'll be enough for you to go in front of anybody at work, at home, wherever you might go, and to share what God has done in your life. Because your life has been changed. According to the Apostle Paul, the most important thing God has done is the crucifixion of his son Jesus for our sins. And I believe that. I believe that's the most important thing. And so the crucifixion of Jesus ought to be something that we know inside and out. It's something that we dwell on, something that we resolve, we commit, we promise, we make ourselves accountable to know this subject, not just in a head knowledge easy way, but in a real enter into that what Christ did for you and I. It changes your whole way of looking at people, changes your whole way how you treat people, changes your attitude about things that happen in life. And that's the Holy Spirit working in you. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except that. How committed are we to that topic? The Holy Spirit empowers us to share our faith, despite the fact that we may not be qualified, despite the fact that we might not know what to say. He does that, and he does that so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, verse 5, but on God's power. People need to see God's power in your life, not men's wisdom in your life. God's power. That's what they need to see. Because there's a lot of hopelessness out there, a lot of brokenness out there, a lot of lost people out there. And they don't need your wisdom and they don't need my wisdom. They need the power of God. They need the grace of God. They need the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to get them through the day-to-day grind, to know how to live and how to respond and how to do things and how to be set free. He is the only one that can do that. That's what I saw with these guys. I saw surrendered guys last night who had nothing but a complete dependence upon God's power. It wasn't about their wisdom. It wasn't about what they went through. It was about God's power. Remember that. Remember that. The biggest thing that people are resting their faith on is a lot of other things, like good works and what the world teaches them. The world needs to put its focus and its commitment, its rest, because that's what it says in verse 5. It says, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We rest our faith on a lot of things. We rest our future. We need to rest all things on God's power. That's what Paul is speaking to there. For all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us have sinned. We need him. We need him to come into our lives. We need him for this world we live in. So he empowers us to share our testimony. He also helps bring us to Christian maturity. And that's what these verses 6 through 16 talk about. And I'm not going to get into them real deep, but that's what they speak of. They speak of a growing up. They speak of you commit yourself to knowing the Lord, and he gives you this greater, deeper wisdom. Verse 6 starts out with the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Having the mind of Christ is not that. The wisdom and knowledge and insight of this world will come to pass. It is what it is. God's word never changes. Verse 16 says that, according to the apostle Paul, we can have the mind of Christ. That's what he says. Many of you don't believe that. That's a challenging thing. You can have the mind of Christ. Not through this world. Not through the rulers of this age. Not by words taught us by human wisdom, as verse 13 says. Or in verse 14, nor can anyone without the Spirit of God have the mind of Christ. You're not going to have it without the Spirit. But we can gain the mind of Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he reveals it to us in the Word of God. Only the Holy Spirit knows the mind of Christ. Verse 11. Only the Holy Spirit knows the mind of Christ. And so when we think about this third part of the Trinity and we like God and his grace and we like Jesus and his sacrifice, let us not be so quick to dismiss the Holy Spirit, who's the only one to know the mind of Christ. We need the mind of Christ in the world that we live in. And as verse 16 says, when we have the mind of Christ, then we're able to filter all things through that. It changes our whole thinking, our whole way of acting, our whole lives. We have more empathy, we have more compassion, we extend more grace, more mercy, we forgive easier, because we don't look at broken people and damaged people and messy people and irritating people and annoying people and frustrating people with the same lenses. We look to them as vessels, as people, as humans created in the very image of God, just like you and just like me. And they fell short, just like you and just like me. And they need the grace, and they need the sacrifice, and they need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, just like you and just like me. Let our testimony make God the hero. Let people see in you and in me not our wisdom, not wisdom we've gathered from books and videos and classes we've taken. Let them see in us the power of God. The Holy Spirit changing our life and doing incredible things in us, because that's what's going to change this world. It's not going to be any of man's wisdom. Let's depend on him. Let's rely on him. Let's put all of our eggs in that basket, because it's a good basket. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. We thank you so much for you, of course, for your grace in sending your son, not something you had to do, but you are a giving father. a loving Father, a merciful Father. And so you sent your one and only Son. That's grace. Father, we're thankful for your Son Jesus, who sacrificed his life for us on the cross. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to live perfectly. He didn't have to go through all that. He could have at any time said, no, no. But he did. We're thankful that before he died, though, Jesus gave very specific words that he would be leaving behind a counselor for us, someone who would guide us in the day-to-day days of life, decision-making process. He called him the Holy Spirit. And Father, that's the most, unfortunately, the most misunderstood, ridiculed, rejected part of your Trinity. And Father, we want to change that in this place, in our hearts, in our lives. We need the Father, we need the Son, and we need the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, God. We need him to guide us in our steps. We need him to give us the power that comes from you and the mind that comes from your Son, because the world can't give us those things. Father, I don't know where each one is today in their journey with you. Perhaps they've never even accepted your Son Jesus into their life. It has to start there. Father, I pray that they would pray that prayer, that they would just humble themselves and say, I need Jesus. My life's a mess and I can't do this. But Father, I'm afraid for most of us, it's probably that we are believers in Jesus, but we're just not asking the Spirit to guide us every day. We're not allowing him. We're resisting him in our lives. And may we take down those walls and let your thoughts work through him and become our thoughts, that our mind might be the mind of Jesus Christ, so that in this world will see not our wisdom, but your power and your grace and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.